In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. After a long day, sometimes I watch this delightfully mind-numbing program called What Not to Wear. It's a makeover reality show that features participants nominated by friends and family who need just a little bit of fashion advice. Secretly, the crew goes out and videotapes this person in their daily life and what they're wearing. And the hosts comment on the wardrobe mishaps. The contestant is given the opportunity for a shopping spree and a makeover if they're willing to follow the fashion guru's tips. Sorting through closets of ill-fitting clothes and dated outfits, the contestants describe how they put their wardrobe together. And you can see just a little bit of vulnerability. While the hosts use humor to challenge their clients to take risks, what often emerges is this fear of change, and even sometimes a little bit of shame and embarrassment about how they feel about themselves. If this is all that the show was about, I would have turned it off long ago. But I became intrigued when I saw that this was a story of the journey of transformation from the outside in. Clothed in garments that were more modern and a little bit more fashionable with a new look, these folks made some substantive changes in their lives that sometimes lasted for many months after the program was over. This was a positive outlook on life that they had gained that contributed to how they felt about themselves. Though much more than our appearance, who we are can be profoundly influenced by what we put on. This morning in our epistle from Ephesians, the writer offered advice on how to live the Christian life to a new community of believers. Addressing these small bands of Christians throughout Asia Minor, the letter was supposed to provide encouragement to those who were feeling like they were a religious minority in the Roman Empire. Influenced by pagan practices going on all around them, facing persecution and sometimes even suppression by the authorities, Christ followers were indeed in need of spiritual advice. Given the culture of Roman militarism, the writer utilized very vivid images of warfare, to which all of them could relate as they watched Roman soldiers walk around them every day. This armor of God was meant to equip them and empower them to remain faithful despite their struggles. Putting on this armor of God would not only protect them, but shape their lives in the way of Christ. What they put on would profoundly influence who they were becoming. Though a distinction is made in the reading between a cosmic conflict that's going on and enemies of flesh and blood, these folks often experienced trouble at the hands of those occupied forces. Those Roman soldiers often went around persecuting each of these Christian communities. Yet this strange armor had a disarming effect. It gave life-giving qualities to the people and to relationships. The author suggests that this uncommon garb, if put on with faith and constancy, would empower them to live a transformed life. All right, so what is this armor of God that we're supposed to put on to give us strength to stand even in the midst of trouble? What gear could possibly disarm the forces that occupy us and cause us to have a new, renewed sense of Christian identity? First, we're invited to put on the belt of truth. So what does that mean? This means seeking an understanding of God's truth through prayer and study, pursuing the truth about ourselves, and pursuing truth in all relationships. Second, we're to put on the breastplate of righteousness. Striving to be in right relationship with God helps us to be in right relationship with our neighbor. Third, we're to wear the shoes of the gospel of peace. Wherever our journey takes us, we are called to spread the news of God's peace to all we meet. Carrying the shield of faith means trusting that God is with us and in us wherever we go, and we trust that God has a plan for our life, for healing and for wholeness. The shield of faith protects us so that we can travel into places of unknown origin and live without fear. Putting on the helmet of salvation, that simply means accepting the gift of eternal life that's been offered to us. This is not a gift that we earn, it's a gift that we live out. Finally, donning the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, the gospel, the reading says, equips us. It equips us with the wisdom of ages and the abiding love of Christ. So must we in this modern day suit up in this armor, ready to go out and do battle amidst the forces of our culture? Some have actually taken this scripture to use their faith on the offensive and to begin to spread the gospel through means of force. Some wear a very benign sense of their Christianity for fear of not wanting to offend people of different beliefs. The life-giving qualities of this armor is meant to sustain us and allow us to live our faith assuredly, while also respecting the diversity that God has created in the world. We can love our neighbor with this armor on. I'm reminded of the scripture from Colossians that tells us to wear our Christian identity with grace, which seems particularly important in a pluralistic society. Clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in the one body. Increasing divisions among religions necessitate that we learn how to inhabit our faith without making it a weapon. Some call this combative piety, and it's influenced many people, especially younger generations, to opt out of religion. Barbara Brown Taylor, in her book, An Altar in the World, writes about the power of human encounter, just simply being together with those that we consider the other. She says that this has great healing potential, healing of our hearts, healing of division. As inheritors of the gospel, we've been given these resources to love our neighbors without trying to change them. Barbara writes, where articles of belief threaten to set people in opposition to one another, we may embody peace. Where differences are demonized, we may host suppers with surprising guest lists. We may test the premise that God uses the weak to confound the strong, as well as the promise that God, who has made others different from us, is revealed in them as well as us. This armor of God does not require us to do battle. Rather, it clothes us with spiritual resources meant to transform us. When I was in undergraduate school studying psychology, I was assigned an internship at Eastern State Mental Hospital. Each week, I visited an older gentleman who had been a resident there for over 30 years, diagnosed with schizophrenia. Talk about encountering the other. I was way out of my league. So I put on my best therapeutic persona, ready to do battle with these forces that made him feel confused and tangential and rather disorganized. Many times our conversations were broken by incoherent tangents he would go on, and sometimes he would just break into song. And I would simply sit there and think, okay, what next? So sometimes we just would walk the grounds together in silence. Each week I would leave terribly discouraged and frustrated. I had been of no help. He would send me on my way with a wave and a smile. I was looking for some sign of tangible improvement to fuel me for the next visit. I missed the simple truth that an unguarded encounter could have healing possibilities and would put us in touch with something sacred. At the end of the year, I was palpably aware that our relationship had much more substance than I thought. It was certainly beyond my level of accomplishment. I dare say that I was the more healed and transformed through that unlikely connection. We've been given tremendous spiritual resources to encounter an embattled world, and we can do it with assurance and with peace. But we first must disarm our own occupying forces that keep us separated from one another. And then we must intentionally clothe ourselves with things that are life-giving and loving. What we put on in life profoundly affects who we are. Even if this uncommon armor doesn't seem to fit at first, keep in mind that God might be transforming us from the outside in. I pray that we will all inhabit this armor of God and inhabit God's love to inspire many new generations to this faith. Amen.